Good afternoon. It is a Monday, August the 21st, 2017, 12:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and you are tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. Terry Tackett in studio, and today we have to do something we'd just rather not do, and that's say goodbye to one of our frequent guests on this show, Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory, legendary civil rights activist, icon, comedian, many-time guest on this program over the last 3 years and 1 month, passed away late Saturday night at the age of 84. Truthfully, I did not think there was anything that would stop Dick Gregory. The next 2 hours, we're going to have some of Dick's friends on to remember him. We're going to remember him and the funny moments he had. We've got some clips in store, and we'll probably take some of your calls on the toll-free line to remember Dick. Now, here's something special coming up, because we had Mr. Gregory on so much. WWGH Radio Special, Dick Gregory Remembered, A Life That Broke All the Rules, produced and narrated by Adam Lepp, will be on this coming Friday. It's a collection of clips from interviews that I did with Mr. Gregory over the last 3 years and 2 months. He was actually on the first month we were on the air, Dick Gregory, back in 2014, June. That special, that brand new special, will air this Friday from 4:10 to 6 p.m., and then there'll be an encore presentation from 9:10 till 11 p.m. on Friday night. Dick Gregory Remembered, A Life That Broke All the Rules, produced and narrated by Adam Lepp. Clips of interviews I did with Mr. Gregory. When I heard he was in the hospital Saturday morning, I thought, well, that's routine. He'll be out. And...
well, to be honest with you, when I first heard it, the first thing that came to my mind was, I thought, dehydration, you know, with the, you know, and he's an older man with the weather and stuff. I just thought, he's dehydrated.
He still toured 300 days a year.
Yeah, I thought, you know, just get his fluids back up and he'd be fine, you know. And
I never expected that.
Had no idea. Like I say, and I just wanted to say, I know he's been a frequent guest on this show a lot, but it, really, to me, I think he was a little bit more than that. I mean, we talked a lot when...
well, Mr. Gregory was...
I definitely consider him a friend, you know.
We went down and interviewed him in person on video in Columbus.
Yeah.
There is a video online. If you go to YouTube and search Scott Spears, Dick Gregory, you'll get the video interview. It's about an hour and a half long. Also, we went to Kent State.
Yeah.
And he was the guest speaker, the 45th commemoration of the Kent shootings, right out there on the lawn.
Yeah.
And
very cordial both times. I remember the one time he was in a hurry and he stayed right there and let you interview him.
And the security guard about killed you.
Yeah.
That's what I remember about
that
day.
Yeah, he had me in an arm lock.
The security guard about put your lights out.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to do, we got a bevy of guests coming up.
Have you heard that? A bevy.
We got a bevy today.
I just remember, too, when you went to Columbus, remember he was obsessed with buying a cassette recorder, and he wanted to ask us where to get one from.
Yeah, I had that little cassette recorder, and he was like, where'd you get that?
Yeah, he loved that thing,
And he was eating a, you know what's funny, because he was always on health kicks, but he was eating...
what's like a cream puff?
Yeah, like a cream puff, some kind of very sugary thing, and I thought, that doesn't seem right.
And he had a Starbucks coffee, I think.
That is Starbucks coffee. That's exactly right. Well, I tell you what, the last time Dick Gregory appeared on this show was late April of this year. Late April of 2017, and these were actually our last moments with Dick Gregory on the air back in April. Take a listen. Hope you enjoy.
I think you're exactly right, and I wonder why there is that entertainment worship, and I've never understood that.
Well, again, there was no hospitals, no doctors, and the universe put the planet together. Matter of fact, there was no men, no women. They was called the Morphodite gods, okay? And look where we've come to. All the stuff that don't exist and that don't help do nothing. Okay? We've been told that you give the church 10%. No, the real truth is you give it 50%. And the billionaires know that, okay? So they put that there. So you pay me $100, I'll give 10 to the church. That means I keep getting that 10% back. That's how it works. And that's why you have people listening to you that don't listen to other things. First, they want to hear you. There's something in your voice. When I got off the plane yesterday, my wife told me, she said, you know, your friend called in 1 or 2 days. And I said, we'll move Wednesday around, and we do it on Wednesday, and tell them I do the day date on Thursday.
Well, Mr. Gregory, that I thank you so much for that, because it is always a pleasure to have you on. And the things you say are very important, and I'm glad that we are servicing a spot where people can hear them, because they need to be heard. And on that note, my friend, how do you want to part with the audience today?
The same way that you feel. It's always about you. It's always about humans. It's always about feeling good about yourself. It's always about knowing there's a price that's going to be paid. And it works this way. It goes 9 generations down. So if I'm your son, you die, and the house ain't paid for, we get kicked out. If I'm your son and your house is paid for, I don't have to move. So all y'all can sit and look at that 9 generations. If it's paid, you don't have to move. If it's not paid, somebody's going to pay this debt. It's that debt. It's that debt.
The incomparable Dick Gregory, that was the last time he was on with us back in April of 2017. After many, many visits, he was just one of a kind. Joining us via telephone, one of my favorite ladies. She is truly one of the funniest people of all time. From her roles on Night Court and Empty Nest, it is always a pleasure to welcome her to these microphones. Marsha Warfield. Miss Warfield, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. Always good to speak with you. Not a happy occasion, though, this time.
No, it isn't, but it's always good to talk to you, too, usually. And I'm sorry Mr. Gregory is gone. I think that leaves a big hole in everybody's life.
Marsha, what did he mean to you?
You know, Dick Gregory, or Greg, as he was affectionately called by most comedians, was a constant moral presence for all of us. He was there was a word they used in the movie, in the book, Roots, Griot, the keeper of the oral traditions. And I think it fits Dick Gregory to a T. He was our Griot.
What was always interesting about Mr. Gregory was he came on, I think, 20, 30 times in the last 30 years. For as big as a name as he was, and as many bookings as he got, still 300 a year, he would always make time for people. He was very accessible.
Yes. Well, I never had the opportunity to meet him. The first time I saw him, I can't even remember. You know, I think it was as a small child on Playboy After Dark in his very early days when he was jazz-oriented, you know, and not really a beat comic, but one of the comedians who worked the jazz circuit and the first to intellectualize comedy in a way that was new, that I didn't really recognize at the time but came to appreciate later on, and spoke in a voice that had never been heard before. And then as he became more of an activist, he was, like I said, he was our conscience. He was the constant presence that kept us, you know, challenged to commit to things bigger than comedy.
You know, Marsha, what was fascinating about me, to me, about Mr. Gregory, people forget he was the first one to sit on Jack Parr's couch, the first African-American to sit on Jack Parr's couch. But yet, up until the day he died, the crowds that came to see him were very young. He never lost his relevance.
No, he was. He never lost his commitment. And I think that resonates with all people, and especially young people who are looking to somebody to be that griot, to be that voice, you know, that guides you once you're out your parents' house.
Well, the story I love to tell about him is, and I got the opportunity to meet him twice, and like I say, he was on via telephone 20, 25 times in the last 3 years. You know, you thought you were getting a comedian when you booked Dick Gregory, but you got so much more. You got somebody who had investigators working in the country. You got somebody who read every newspaper that he could get his hands on every morning. You got somebody who traveled with a file on current events. He was so many things. Comedy almost became an afterthought in later years because he was so involved in everything else.
Yes, and he was revolutionary in a lot of ways people don't realize either. He, you know, back when he started pushing nutrition and healthy eating, that was unheard of, you know, and especially in the black community, healthy eating was we had a different concept. And so he took a lot of what do you call it? He took a lot of pushback from people about that. But turns out he was right all along. It wasn't as important to take care of your body and your mind and keep yourself stimulated as it was to look for the humor and see the funny, you know, in life.
There was also this great dichotomy in him that I loved because he would talk very seriously, but his humor, when you listen to it, was so smart. He would come on and we'd get on a roll talking maybe about politics or something, and then he would drop in a line, a classic Dick Gregory line, where he would say something like, you know, one day I came home and my wife Lillian was so upset because she got a letter from Sears saying it was the final notice. And I said, well, thank, and this is Dick speaking, he said, well, thank goodness, they are glad we won't be hearing from them anymore.
Right.
And he was also very clean and smart in his humor. You know, the lines are just coming back to me, you know, if they're going to come repossess your car, don't park your car in front of your house. Just funny.
Right. Right. But he was always, even from, like I said, what I remember from a little girl watching him on, sneaking up and watching him on Playboy After Dark and shows like that, he was always very intellectual and always very much with his finger on the pulse of what was happening. And he was always challenging and always very intellectual. But he spoke in the people's voice, which is not an easy thing to do, to be as smart and as insightful and down to earth at the same time. It's a tribute to him that we all can speak as freely as we can.
What do you think he had any fears? I could never discern a fear that he had.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't. He's a human, so of course he did. But I don't know that he ever let it stop him. You know, it had to be terrifying. You know, even the jokes he told about the Klansmen telling him whatever he did to the chicken, they were going to do to him. And he said, well, they picked the chicken up and kissed it. Even that kind of joke kind of, you know, addresses that kind of fear you have, but not letting it stop you to meet the challenge and keep going. And so he faced whatever fear he might have had head on and overcame it.
And, you know, what people don't realize is he was the first black man to run for president. He was a write-in candidate, 1968, I believe it was, got a lot of votes, and he also...
I think it was 1.5 million.
Yeah, he did very well as a write-in, where he actually had to write his name in, and he also, J. Edgar Hoover tried to have him assassinated using the mafia, and it was in the Chicago Tribune, and he used to carry that around as a badge of honor.
You know, I saw it written in, I think it was Wikipedia or something, that he was a conspiracy theorist. And it bristled because he actually faced conspiracies. So it wasn't really, you know, a conspiracy theorist. They actually happened. He actually was involved in things that brought him to the attention, like you said, of people like J. Edgar Hoover, and again, that showed in his comedy. You know you're being wiretapped when you haven't paid your phone bill, and you still have a phone.
That's one of my favorite lines that he did. That is so bright. That's so above the bar. He was brilliant. And you're right, conspiracy theorist is a wrong term to use for him, because I remember one time we had him on and there was a guest and somebody asked him about the Illuminati. And he says, "Do you know about it?" And the guy said, "Yeah." And he said, "Then it's not real." he had a way of speaking that was just something. What's his place in comedy, Marcia?
Oh, you know, it's immeasurable. You know, like you said, he broke down barriers that we just take for granted, and we shouldn't. You know, to go from an era where to be a bright intellectual comedian was an affront to a lot of people and a dangerous one. And for him to actually triumph in that regard is huge. All of the comedians that came after him, especially the black comedians that came after him, without him, it would have been a lot, lot harder if it happened at all.
And I want to tell that, because it's one of my favorite Dick Gregory jokes. I won't be able to tell it as funny as he did, but he came on one day, and he always liked to be a little mischievous, and he would come on sometimes with a joke. Not a dirty joke. He would never do that. But the joke was, he said, when he first got some money, he moved into a very ritzy neighborhood in Baltimore, and some of the people in the neighborhood were on vacation. He said there was this white couple that was on vacation when he moved in, and he said he was out cutting his grass one day, and the husband came over and said with the wife and said, "Boy, the grass looks great out here." He says, "When you're done, do you want to come over and do my grass?" And he said, "Well, maybe." And the guy says, "Well, what do you do? How much do you charge? What's the payment here? What do you do for the person in this house?" And he says, "Well, I stay the night with the person in this house. Would you like me to go over to your house and do it?" And it, the wife, he said, would just, and he was funny that way.
Yes.
Yep.
But there again, he was always meeting the challenge and not backing down from it. That was a huge lesson. You know, his commitment is unrivaled to anything that he believed in and that he, you know, he gave his word to. He committed 1,000,000%.
In the realm of life, he meant a lot to people. And the outpouring this weekend, I thought, was very nice.
He did, and I don't know that, I hope he knew that, you know. Like I said, I never had the opportunity to meet him. I did see him at the Comedy Store once, but I never got a chance to say hello. But I hope he knew how important he is and will remain.
Absolutely. And I don't think he's somebody who's going to get lost in the rungs of history. He was the first.
Yeah, he was, like you said, you know, you can't take that away from him. You can't take that those firsts, those many, many firsts that we can only scratch the surface of that he's had to his credit. You can't take that away from him. You can't take that out of the book, out of the big book of life.
Well, Marsha, it is always a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope we do it more often. I hope things are well with you, and it's always a pleasure to talk to another great comedian.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope Mr. Gregory's legacy is honored as it should be.
Absolutely.
It's hard to find the words.
It truly,
especially at this early in the morning where I am.
Thank you, Marsha.
Well, thank you.
Bye bye. Marsha Warfield, certainly one of a kind in her own right, from her roles on Night Court to Empty Nest. Always fun to talk with Marsha Warfield.
Yeah, she's one of, I think, from a comedic standpoint also too. She was kind of a trendsetter a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Marsha Warfield, remember when she came on the scene?
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. She had her own talk show at one point. She was a very popular star. Always loved Marsha. Never got to meet Dick Gregory, but yet still felt the presence
of
him.
Sure, sure.
How could you not?
Oh, I mean, I still remember when we went to see him, and at the end of the show, he was walking up to the table to sign autographs, and he still picked us up.
Now, I want you to try to tell that joke, because I did a horrible job doing it.
Okay.
The lyrics of that joke are a little different than what I did.
Right.
Okay, hit me with the joke.
He said that when he first got some money, he said he moved to an affluent area of Baltimore, and he said, I thought he said the snow was out, and he was out shoveling the walk.
But see, I thought he was mowing the walk.
Okay, well, maybe he was cutting the grass. But anyway, he said the neighbors have walked over, and he said that the guy seen him, and, you know, they had, of course, the area he lived in, they all had people that did their grass and things like that. And him and his wife walked up to Dick, and he said, you know, the grass looks great over here. Said, you know, said, how much do you charge? And Dick said, or, you know, he said, what's the payment here? And Dick said, well, he said, the payment is, he said, I have to do the dishes and I have to do the grass cutting and stuff like that. And the wife kind of looked a little strange. And the guy said, what do you mean? He said, you know, I stay here. And the guy still was kind of like flabbergasted. And then finally he went through this whole of explaining that he owned the place, you know, or whatever. And the guy just couldn't understand that.
There was some joke in there, though.
But
we're not doing.
We're missing a part of it.
We're missing it horribly.
Yeah,
but there was only one Dick Gregory.
Right.
We're going to be joined by more people. But just if you think Dick Gregory didn't have an opinion on politics, we spoke with him on November 22nd. This was actually 40-some-odd years to the date of John Kennedy's assassination, and it was also just after last year's election. This is Dick Gregory on this program, November 22nd of last year. Everything going on with President-elect Trump, there's only one man in the world I could think to go to. He hasn't been on the program since July. We have missed him terribly, but here in the holiday season, just like visiting with a relative, we're so happy to welcome back to these microphones the iconic, an American treasure, Mr. Dick Gregory. Mr. Gregory, how are you?
Thank you. Peace and love to you, your family, your listeners, and just thank God that you are on this planet. You know, I wrote a book 50 years ago, and the name of it was The Shadow That Scares Me. And if you go look in the sun, the shadow is always bigger than the house that you're looking at. The shadow. The shadow is always bigger than the shadow from the car. That's what you just took looking at this election. Donald Trump is the shadow. Do you really think, could you be crazy enough to believe the richest, richest Republicans in the history of the planet is the Henry Ford family, the DuPont, the Mellons, the Rock? Do you believe they let that thug do what he's doing? If they didn't, might they put a bullet through his head like they did Kennedy? And so I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the people. My mother, if she was alive today, she would have went out the election and voted for the lesser of the evils, and there is a real God. I'm not talking about the church. And when you vote for the evil of the lesser of the evils, because you got evil in you, okay? Now, y'all can smile and laugh and do all. That's how Hitler came to power. See, few people, I didn't know until I started doing research. Hitler won that election by only 288 votes. That's what brought him to power, because the lesser of the evils. He is one man that rapes a child every day and another man that rapes one every month. So you got to pick one, the baby says, well, you take the one that do it every month and don't know how sick we are. That's what that election showed me. The sickness of the American people will stoop to the level. These are Christians, and vote for the lesser of the evils, and don't know that's because you got evil in you, and you ain't seen what's fixing to come down, okay? And so again, I just say thanks for you that's putting out the information out there.
Well, do you think he had an opinion? Yeah, Dick Gregory had a little bit of an opinion there. And if you want to remember Dick Gregory, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We had a lot of talk on this station about the lesser of two evils, if you remember, during election time. And what was that, about 14 days after the election, he gave his political opinion. So where do you put Mr. Gregory?
Well, I mean, I think the man, I think he was an icon, you know, I think.
Well, people, when I do a little speaking engagements, boy, people brought his name up.
Oh, yeah. I heard that a lot around town. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, good, bad, you know, whatever.
Well, that was what he did. He made you think.
Yeah.
That's what it was all about. It wasn't so much about liking him or disliking him. It was about making you think.
Sure.
But he was always very kind to me. Yeah. I never remember a cross moment with him.
No. Like I said, and to me, that's what sticks out so much, and that's why I have so much admiration for the guy, is that he treated us as if we were, you know, part of his family. I mean, you know.
Didn't he think you were an indigo child?
So, yeah, I knew.
Wasn't there something
term,
like
yeah.
that?
He said something, look at his skin. Or
yeah, you're. I don't remember what that was, but he said if there's trouble, to be around you, because you would be, because remember, he had, and you said somebody in your family had been an indigo child or something like that?
Yeah, he just, it was amazing. I mean, how he could, I like the trick with the dollar or whatever that he did.
What was the thing with the dollar, the pyramid? And
yeah, he folded it several ways, and he could explain what all the...
I know a lot of people always liked when Dick would come on, but they would say, well, I don't know if I believe everything he says, but he's entertaining when he comes on.
Yeah, he was. I like what you said, too, how he could drop a comedic line in there as well as...
And he'd drop one of those funny lines in there, and then he'd go right on to bashing somebody.
Yeah.
You know, he did not care who it was either. Republican, Democrat, that he was not. He was not either one of those things.
He took on the TSA that one day.
Oh, he did not like certain people.
That's
and if
right.
he did not like you, he let you know pretty well that he did not like you.
Sure did, yeah.
Do you believe the Dick Gregory philosophy that a lot of things aren't exactly like the government tells us?
I do. I think there's a lot of information that they don't tell us purposely.
You know, I was with him many times at Kent State and
down in Columbus.
Down in Columbus, and he always had that file of papers with him.
Yep.
Where he had all the information. He had press clippings and newspaper clippings and reports that investigators had filed.
Remember, he brought it to the show that
night. Yeah. And he always wanted to show you.
Yeah.
He always wanted to show you to prove, you know, take a look at this or Google. I mean, his favorite, Google this.
It, yeah.
Google this.
Yeah.
Google that.
And he'd tell you exactly what to.
What the Googling was.
And he was talking about the money situation, about all the banks or whatever, how they were going to be broke or get all your money out of this one bank, I don't know, or something, and he was...
He always had something to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And I put him right up there with all the major leaders in the civil rights movement, because you've got to remember, Dick Gregory marched with those people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was a friend of Martin Luther King Jr. I believe he knew Malcolm X. He knew Michael Jackson. He knew Muhammad Ali. He knew them all.
Yep.
There was nobody he didn't know.
Right. He was, yeah.
And his name was always in the phone book. He did not have a guard.
No.
You know, he was always accessible.
Yeah. And that's one other thing that I always remember, that I always like, is that how easily accessible he was. I mean, you know, he was that type of guy. I remember when his plane landed and his wife said, call him, you know. And
well, he would Lillian was always so great. If I sent a request in, she'd be back to me within 24 hours, mm-hmm. and we would have it set up and ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's what was so nice about him, is that, you know, he had that accessibility, and he didn't mind, you know, to...
And he always gave you as much time as you needed, and most of the times he went over on time.
Yeah, yeah. Remember in the lobby there, I went to greet him at the lobby before we, and he just such a kind, you know, good man, and you know, and
he was a wonderful guy. And like I said, if anybody out there has any memories of him or memories of him on this show, they can dial us up 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We will have some other people calling in to share their memories of the late, hard to say that, late, yeah, Dick Gregory, who passed away Saturday at the age of 84.
Yeah.
Nobody quite like... Is there anybody who is even similar to him?
Boy. Are you talking like from a comedic standpoint?
Just what he was.
Because the only person, and I know I'm going to get beat up for this probably because he's not age-wise nearly as old, but somebody like maybe like a Steve Harvey, I don't know.
I don't know, but I don't. Does Steve Harvey have that activist side to him?
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't.
See, that's what I liked about Mr. Gregory was the interview was not a comedic interview.
Right.
You know, sometimes you get these comedians.
They just want to come on and be funny. Yeah.
And it's comic, or talk about their career. Mr. Gregory talked very little about his career.
He pushed all that stuff to the back burner. You know,
he wanted to talk about what was going on that day and what his researchers had found.
Well, that's what I like when we talked to him in Columbus. He stayed over a few minutes after the interview just asking, like, how's your family? How's, you know?
Well, I remember he set up a shop after his comedy show in Columbus, and he set up shop there in the lobby of the Funny Bone in Columbus and waited. So everybody who got to meet him and wanted a picture got one.
Yep. I remember that, too. Like I say, I remember we were walking. I looked behind me, and there he was right behind me pointing about that little cassette. He's like...
He wanted a cassette recorder.
He wanted to know where Best Buy was, I think, or whatever. So I think that's where he told him to get one. He was, you know...
He was a
great guy.
I mean, you know, that's something in my life I'm very proud to say I did, was go and see Dick Gregory live doing a comedic special.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the first in the African-American world to sit on Jack Parr's couch. He was the first, really, to break down that...
He was definitely a pioneer, you know, in a lot of things, and...
You weren't going to tell Dick Gregory what to do.
Right.
And that was why I think he was absolutely indomitable in what he believed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, he believed it, he was going to stand behind it, and he was not going to waver. And again, that's why we want to let you know that coming up this Friday, it's a WWGH radio special, Dick Gregory Remembered, A Life That Broke All the Rules, produced and narrated by Adam Lepp. A collection of clips and interviews that I did with Dick Gregory over the last 3 years that will air on Friday, August the 25th, 4:10 to 6 p.m. and 9:10 to 11 p.m. It will air twice. It's a two-hour special, big two-hour special here on WWGH Radio.
So you can listen to it before the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yes, which is coming up
Saturday.
Yeah, this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it could go one of two ways here. I think, number one, Mayweather should win it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The guy doesn't know how to box.
Sure.
Or they're going to throw it.
Ah, and split the money.
I think there might be some fake to this. So, something doesn't seem right about it to me.
Mm.
Doesn't it seem a little fishy to you?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, why would the UFC, which does not need boxing is nowhere near where the UFC is pay-per-view-wise, why would they take a big star and put him in there to get beat up?
Yeah. I don't understand. Yeah, there's something. Did Dana White, who's the commissioner, did he get a payoff, or did he?
I don't understand it. I mean, because it's basically UFC versus boxing.
Pro boxing, yeah.
But it seems to me like a gimmick. I mean, I just don't believe it's real.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
I believe it's a phony baloney thing.
Everything I've watched, it just seems like there's no, it's not, you know, I don't know if real, no realness to it. I mean,
I don't think it's going to be real. I think people are, and somebody I think is going to blow the whistle. In today's world,
people
got their cell phones out all over the place.
Sure. Cell phones and just everything. And so, something will get exposed here, I think, before.
As Dick Gregor would say, Google this.
Yeah, Google this, yeah.
Google Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. See what you're going to see.
That's right.
But I'm sure you're going to see something quite interesting.
That's right.
August
26th, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now here's a clip we have of Mr. Gregory talking about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Let's go listen to some more Dick Gregory.
Somewhere. Y'all go to bed and y'all feel good. If I worked for any of you out there and you paid me $100 a week, and one day I decide I'm going to dedicate a day in my house, my spirit for you to say thanks, for you, do I charge you $10,000 a day, or do I work for free? Okay, I'm gonna say this again, I work for you. You pay me $100 a day. Now I'm gonna thank you, dedicate a whole day of thanking you. Do I charge you $10,000 a day, or do I work for free? Well, that's what Thanksgiving is about. I say thanks by not eating that day. That's what Thanksgiving was about, a day of fast. Y'all eat more on that day than any other day. Who are you saying thanks to, huh? What about, huh? And so again, Thanksgiving, I didn't know. And when I found out, today I shut everything down. Now, my wife was laughing. Because if it wasn't from this show, y'all wouldn't hear from me. I go 3 days before Thanksgiving, and I go 3 days after Thanksgiving. I lock the door. I shut the phone off, except one phone, in case of an emergency come up and my wife needs to call me. She know the code of letting it ring then hang up. I don't eat nothing. I don't drink nothing. I don't talk. I don't read. That's my way of saying to the universe, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? I've been doing that now for 50 years. I've got 10 children, 13 grandchildren. I've never seen them on Thanksgiving. I never see them on the holiday. Okay? That's my, I don't tell you the truth, do whatever you want to do. I'm saying that's the way I would say thanks. And I think it's heathenism if you paying me $1,000 a day and I choose to thank you by charging you $10,000 a month. You don't have to be too bright to understand that, okay? You don't have to be too bright at all.
Well, I have to say, knowing that, it means so much to me that you were able to come on today. And again, 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I can only say this with the greatest sincerity that I could ever say anything, I am sincerely thankful every time, and especially this time, that Mr. Dick Gregory comes on this program without question. Thank you so much, Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, my brother. Peace and love to you and all your listeners.
You take care and have a great holiday.
I will do that.
Bye-bye. You know, and that's how it always ended. Peace and love to you and your family. And he was always just so kind that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like I say, I mean, the I don't know, probably the 8 or 10 times I talked to him, he was always really just, you know, really. He a few times he'd gotten familiar over time with my voice, you know, and stuff. And you know, that'd be the first question he'd ask. You know, was how's everybody doing? And
a nice, gentle.
We talked man. About 15 minutes both times at Kent State, and he just a real.
Oh, tell the Kent State story about where you got beat up. You about got beat
about
up.
About got beat up. Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
Tell the story.
With the security guard, was he was in a hurry to catch a plane. You know, I'm not sure where he was going, but
now tell the security guy.
He's a big guy, yeah. And So I'm, you know, I'm trying to, you know, trying to get him to stay so obviously we can interview him and things like that. And this guy's pacing back and forth, and he's just, he's ready to kill, you know. He keeps saying, like you know, we got to go after this, we got to go after this.
Well, because what had happened was when he was sitting down to sign autographs, I kind of slid in there on the side.
Yeah, you kind of worked your way
and
in there.
He said, oh, hey, Scott, because I had just talked to him a few days before. And he said, just do the interview right now.
Yeah.
While I'm signing these books.
So you stuck your microphone there, did the interview, and the security guard's like, you know, we don't have time for this. And it's like, it's happening. You know? He was ready to.
And you got the brunt. The security guard never talked to me.
Oh, yeah. He was irate with me because this was happening, you know. And he's just ready to kill me, you know. And all these other people were trying to come up, and he's like not letting them. And
you always get stuck.
Yeah.
Phyllis Schlafly's side.
Hey, you know what? It's worth it.
It's worth it because you get these interviews done.
I don't care.
But you know what was interesting about that whole Dick Gregory thing was I remember sitting there doing that interview on the 45th anniversary of the Kent State shootings, and we were out there where they got shot.
Yeah.
We were sitting right on the lawn where they got shot.
Yep.
And I remember it was such a beautiful day, beautiful weather, and I thought, how could this have happened here 45 years ago? And we were sitting here with the lead speaker, Dick Gregory, who I think released an album on Kent State the following year, which I think is why he was
the speaker
that year.
Yeah. I mean, and the words he said that day were just, you know, that whole day was just great, man. I mean, you know.
Well, Mr. Gregory always had a positive. He always was happy for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He always was happy for another day. It was always...
Yeah.
Just genuinely affection.
Yeah. Yep.
Just genuine affection from a genuinely nice guy who did genuinely nice things for so many years, for so many people. And like I say, I just don't think he's ever replaceable.
Yeah. I just think he's one of those people that will just he'll go down in history, you know, for some of the iconic things he did, and he just there's no one to pass the torch to because there's just no one ever like it.
I will miss having interviews with him because the joke always was you could say, hello, ladies and gentlemen, here we are with the iconic Dick Gregory. And then you could go out and you could brush your teeth and you could go down and get a drink of water, go to the restaurant, go get some food, eat your food, and you might be back in time to hear him to pipe in. Because really, you got about two questions in the entire interview.
Normally.
Because he got on. He was really, I think, at his heart, a lecturer.
Mm-hmm. He got on one subject, and he just, you know, what was the one he was telling us about? He bought a new car, and I can't remember that whole thing. He bought a new car. Oh boy!
I just remember the thing about the repoing, where he said they were going to come repossess his car, and he just stopped parking in front of the house.
Well, he had bought a car. And it was a very nice car, like a Bentley or something like that. And he said that he didn't drive, but one of his children or something were driving, and his grandkids were in the back. And it said, you know, they asked Poppy, like, why don't you drive or something? And or they asked something about the car. I mean, it was some joke. It was funny. I can't remember what it was now.
Well, that's what I say. If you go online and you search Dick Gregory comedy, you will find very funny stuff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he would tell jokes everywhere he went. At his heart, there were still jokes, but he was not by the end of his career a traditional stand-up comedian.
I think he'd kind of more taken an activism type role, you know, than an activist type role.
At the Funny Bone, when we saw him last year, there was really no comedy in that show at all.
No. But he had, how can I say this? He had comedic lines in the show.
Well, he just would berate the crowd.
Especially that lady. Oh, just, hold the microphone.
Because he would ask people to read things that he had laid out on the table, like articles from newspapers from 1960.
Yeah.
Read that first article. And if you started reading the wrong article, he'd say, whoa. Not that one. The other side.
And then they weren't holding the microphone properly. And
I'll say that he had very little patience.
He did. Very, very little patience for people.
But a one of a kind, even before, you know, people assert Bill Cosby as being a pioneer. But honestly, Dick Gregory was before Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, for my money, I don't know, you know, but for my money, he's definitely.
And always big funny.
Oh, Always.
Always big. And you'll if you listen to the special on Friday, you will hear the big funny because it that's just who he was. And remember, it's a WWGH radio special. I feel like Barbara Walters all of a sudden. Catch the special.
Yeah.
It's a WWGH radio special. Dick Gregory remembered a life that broke all the rules. Mm-hmm. Produced and narrated by Adam Lepp. A collection of clips from interviews that I conducted with Dick Gregory over the last 3 years, airing Friday, August the 25th, from 4:10 to 6 p.m. and 9:10 to 11 p.m. They gave us 2 hours.
All right.
Big 2-hour special.
That was nice of them.
Wasn't that nice of them to give me 2 hours to do my little dog and pony show?
That's right.
And Adam, your dear friend, will be narrating the special. He's producing it.
Okay.
So even I don't know what's coming.
Right.
I hear he's doing a good job.
So this is an Adam Lepp production, huh?
This is an Adam Lepp production.
Okay.
Now, would you call it, it's more of a, I would say.
A documentary? Or
well, I really don't know.
Special?
He's narrating it.
Yeah.
It's like World War II.
Is he going to walk us through the different parts of his life, or just the different parts of the interviews that we've had with him?
I think it's a Scott Spears special. Produced and narrated by Adam Lepp.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go.
That's how it'll work. That's how you got it. That's going to be my new lot in life, to do specials.
There you go. Yeah.
Why not?
Just pick random people.
And do specials.
There you go.
That's how you do it from now on.
Yeah.
You don't even worry about doing regular shows. You just do specials.
That's right. Who's up next? Pat, maybe? Pat Carroll?
Well, I hope nobody leaves us for a while. Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
We're going to do a tribute, by the way, to Jerry Lewis coming up on Wednesday that you're not going to want to miss.
Oh,
so
good.
We've got all kinds of things going on here at WWGH Radio, where the G stands for Gregory today.
Well,
Dick Gregory.
Such iconic people, you know, that we've had on this station, you know, from Phyllis Diller to...
Well, I said the line starts here.
Yeah.
The line starts here. To wherever you're going to go, this is where the line starts.
That's right.
We're going to continue on with our remembrance of Dick Gregory. We've got some more guests coming up in hour number two. We certainly thank Marshall Warfield for coming on in hour number one. We've got more clips. We've got an extended clip of Mr. Dick Gregory coming up. And we will do that here coming up momentarily. So stay with us here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. John Barber will be calling in about 15 minutes, and we will remember the legendary Dick Gregory. We're coming back in 15 minutes with John Barber. In 15 minutes, we'll be back with him. So stay tuned. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For the famous Cookie Mamus
and Undercoil.